Throughout this season of Advent, we're reflecting especially on this prayer, O Sacro Convivio. So I invite you to be able to, that we can pray this together as we begin this second reflection. If you have it in the bulletin or if you want to read it, along as it's projected, we can pray together. O sacred banquet in which Christ is received, the memory of his passion is renewed, the mind is filled with grace, and a pledge of future glory is given to us. So last week, if you remember, we focused especially on that last part of the prayer. Father Ignacio was helping us to reflect on when it says the pledge of future glory is given to us. How the Eucharist, how the Mass is a pledge of future glory. It orients us towards heaven, reminds us of that. It's an anticipation in some way. But today, the readings today in this Sunday's Gospel and in the first reading, they help us to reflect on the second part of the prayer, which is the memory of his passion is renewed. Because the readings today, they focus especially on this topic of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. That's what we see in both Isaiah and the Gospel of Mark. In Isaiah, God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah to his people in exile. This was perhaps the darkest moment in Israel's history, was when Jerusalem was destroyed, the temple was destroyed, they were taken into exile for 70 years. They thought that God had abandoned them. But God speaks through Isaiah to give them hope, and he says, comfort, comfort my people. Their guilt has been expiated. And he's calling them back to the promised land. And in the gospel, we see something similar taking place. John the Baptist is in the desert calling people for a baptism of repentance. And it says, it's amazing. It says that all of the Judean countryside, all of Jerusalem, crowds of people going out to receive this baptism from John the Baptist as they acknowledge their sins. But there's an important detail here in this gospel. John the Baptist makes clear that his baptism is a baptism of repentance. That's why he says, I baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And in the Gospel of John, it says that on the next day, Jesus went out to the desert to meet John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, as soon as he sees Jesus, he points him out. He says, behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. That's a powerful statement. He's saying to the people there, that's the one. That's the one who's going to forgive all the sins of the world. That's the one who is going to free you from your sins so you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the love of God. Now, when does Jesus do this? Well, in his passion, his death, and his resurrection. Those most important events, all of his life was a build-up to that. That was the reason he came, to free us from our sins. Jesus means that God saves. Jesus came to take all the sins of the world upon himself, and he did that on the cross for us. And he destroyed our greatest enemies on the cross, sin, death, and Satan, the three greatest enemies of humans, destroyed them on the cross. And when he rose to new life, he opened up the possibility for us to receive his divine life through grace. And those events, his passion, death, and resurrection, are so important that he instituted a lasting memorial so that those events could be made present to us today. That's what we celebrate every time we come to Mass, every time we celebrate the Eucharist. Those events are made present to us. There's a beautiful encyclical that I'd like to invite you to read. It's a short one, but it's by Pope St. Paul VI. It's called Mysterium Fidei, which means the mystery of faith. You can read along with me this passage, what he describes here of this memorial of the Mass, but it's unlike any other memorial. He says, at the Last Supper, on the night when he was betrayed, our Savior instituted the Eucharistic sacrifice of his body and blood. He did this in order to perpetuate the sacrifice of the cross throughout the centuries until he should come again, and so to entrust to his beloved spouse, the Church, a memorial of his death and resurrection, a sacrament of love, a sign of unity, a bond of charity, a paschal banquet in which Christ is eaten. The mind is filled with grace, and a pledge of future glory is given to us. Take a moment to look at that, to let that sink in. It's very profound what he's saying there. But it's our Catholic faith that every time that we celebrate the Eucharist, the sacrifice of the cross is made present to us right now. That's amazing. That's why this memorial is unlike any other. The Mass is not just a memorial where we remember back to something that happened in the past. It's not a funeral. It's not a symbol. But that sacrifice is made truly present to us right now. And there's so many signs in the Mass that put this on display, what we really believe. Think about just the moment of consecration within the Mass. As the priest lifts up the bread that has just become the body of Christ, and he lifts up the wine that has been consecrated to become the blood of Christ, the priest genuflects after each one of those, in awe before that. Everyone here will be kneeling in that moment. You hear the bells ring to say, look what's happening. And then at the very end of that, when the priest stands up after having consecrated both of those, he stands back almost in this sign of wonder, and he says, the mystery of faith. Because it's a mystery. All of a sudden, Jesus Christ is made present on that altar. His body, his blood, soul and divinity, the passion, death, and resurrection, like concentrated right there, present to us. The mystery of faith. And then we all proclaim together that memorial acclamation. We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again. That's so powerful. We proclaim your death, Lord. You did that for me. And you want to make that present to me right now to remind me of that. And we profess your resurrection, that it didn't end on the cross, but that you conquered sin and death when you rose again. And we will profess that. We will proclaim that until you come again. That's what we say all together in that moment. It's beautiful. But to take it one step further, not only is that sacrifice made present to us in the Mass, but also what we believe is that its salvific power reaches us every time that we celebrate the Mass. And that's why this encyclical goes on to say this. It is a good idea to recall what may be termed the heart and core of the doctrine, namely that by means of the mystery of the Eucharist, the sacrifice of the cross, which was once carried out on Calvary, is re-presented. That hyphen is making clear that it's presented anew, right now, not just represented, but re-presented in wonderful fashion and is constantly recalled. And its salvific power is applied to the forgiving of the sins we commit each day. This is so important. The sacrifice of the cross is made present, and its power reaches us for the forgiveness of sins right now. And there's a moment in the Mass where this is also proclaimed in a special way, shown in a special way, and it's at the Lamb of God. Think about that moment. We say three times all together, Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Grant us peace. And then after that, the priest himself, just like John the Baptist in the desert, lifts up the body and blood of Christ and says, behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. And we all respond together, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. We're professing that faith, that it's healing, that his healing power will reach me right now as I receive him in the Eucharist. Every Mass is a healing Mass. So what can we do to be able to connect with this dimension of the Eucharist as a memorial? Something that can be helpful is at each of those elevations in the consecration and at the Lamb of God, to imagine yourself at the foot of the cross. Because the saints are present with us, but imagine that you're with Mary, that you're with John the Apostle, that you're with Mary Magdalene at the foot of the cross. When I was in Argentina early on in my formation, one of the first weeks after I got down there to begin formation, one of the priests, he invited me to come along with him to Mass. He had a Mass in a really poor neighborhood, in a small chapel. So I went with him to this Mass, and something happened there that really struck me. We were celebrating the Mass as usual, as normal, But then at the moment of the consecration, as soon as he pronounced those words of consecration and lifted up the body of Christ, everybody there said out loud together, "My Lord and my God." Everybody. And the same thing after that with the blood of Christ, "My Lord and my God." And it was so powerful to hear that, beautiful to hear that. Everybody proclaiming that, that's him. That's my Lord and my God. He's present there. That's something that we can do spiritually, maybe not out loud here, but interiorly, we can say that, "My Lord and my God," at those moments. The Eucharist is truly this memorial, a special memorial. The sacrifice of the cross is made present. His passion, death, and resurrection are made present. Its salvific power reaches us. And I'd like to finish with this prayer that St. Pope Paul VI prayed at the end of this encyclical. And we can pray this, not out loud, but in our hearts we can pray this, but you can follow along. "May the most blessed Virgin Mary, from whom Christ the Lord took the flesh that is contained, offered, and received in this sacrament, under the appearances of bread and wine, intercede with the Father of mercies, so that this common belief in the Eucharist and devotion to it may give rise among all Christians to a perfect unity of communion that will continue to flourish. Amen."